Welcome to Orphans No More, a radio extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry, a program dedicated to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless, advocating Christian families to adopt and get involved with foster care here in the Capital District, as well as globally, and encouraging and supporting those who've heard and heeded the call of James 1:27.
He determines the number of stars and calls them each by name. That's Psalm 147, verse 4. I'm Sandra Flack, your host of Orphans No More, a radio extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry. Joining us today from Oklahoma is pastor, adoptive dad, Orphan Sunday coordinator, and president of Faces with Names. Faces with Names exists so orphans and vulnerable children will know the love of a family through adoption, foster care, and global orphan partnerships. Welcome to the show, Eric.
Thank you, Sandra. It's great to be here with you.
It's a pleasure to have you. It's an honor, really. I love the work that you're doing there in Oklahoma. Faces with Names is very similar to the work to Justice for Orphans and the work we're doing here in New York. So, Eric, let's start kind of at the beginning and how you got involved with all this. You and your wife, Susan, have two biological kids. Your son, Regan, is 14. Regan or Reagan?
Reagan
is 14, and daughter Caitlin is 10, and you have a daughter by adoption, Hope, who is also 10. She came home from China, correct?
Yeah.
All right.
That is correct.
Doing good. I take good notes. So with two biological kids, what led you and Susan to adopt?
Well, it goes back to just shortly after we were married. I felt called to be a pastor, and we ultimately ended up moving to Wilmore, Kentucky, where I attended Asbury Theological Seminary and was getting my master's degree to become a pastor. And while we were there, Susan became really good friends with a lady who was a social worker and primarily worked with families adopting from China. And so through that friendship, Susan just became aware of the plight of primarily little girls at that time in China. And she began to come to me and just said, Eric, I really feel like God's laying on my heart that someday we would adopt a little girl from China. And as she told me that, you know, at that point we had only been married a year. We didn't have any kids of our own. And I was completely uninterested and probably almost, I don't know if hostile is the right word, but it was close to that. I was not interested at all. I think I was one of these guys who had heard a few nightmare adoption stories or foster care stories and just thought, that is not something that I want to be a part of at all. So anyways, at that point, that was kind of the start of it. And Susan, over an eight-year time period, basically would just pray for me and would always gently remind me, Eric, don't forget about that little girl in China. And I look back and I just think I so appreciated her, the way she handled it. She didn't pressure me, but I know she was praying for me. And so in God's, you know, great plan, I ultimately became an outreach pastor at a church in Rock Island, Illinois. And one of our existing ministry partners when I got there was a medical mission team in China who went into orphanages and nursing homes to care for the vulnerable, really living out James 1:27 in its fullest of caring for orphans and widows in their distress. And so I ultimately led a team of ours to China. And as that was all transpiring, I just already knew that God was working in my heart to potentially adopt. And I'll never forget the week before we were leaving on the trip. We had our team over and all their spouses to have dinner and kind of our last meeting before we left. And adoption came up in the conversation. One of the team members that was going with me, her husband said, I told Stephanie, you know, why don't you just bring a couple girls back that we can adopt? And so it opened the conversation of adoption. And of course, Susan, you know, was like, I've been telling Eric that we need to adopt from China for 8 years. And so what Susan didn't know during that whole time is that God was already stirring in my heart, and I knew that this was no accident. And so ultimately, when we arrived in China, I heard a prayer request in a church service the very next morning that we arrived, after we arrived, and heard a prayer request about a little girl, orphan, who had congenital heart defect and was in desperate need of open heart surgery. And that prayer request really resonated with me because I was born with a hole in my heart and had open heart surgery when I was 5 years old. Mm-hmm. And just about 3 days later, we were in this foster home, and I got to meet this little girl personally, and I held her in my arms, and I remember just walking around the courtyard kind of outside of the building and just carrying her and just praying, God, is this the girl that you are going to have us adopt? And so that was really the start of it for us.
And was that little girl the girl that you would adopt?
It ultimately was, but I had no idea how hard it was going to be. When I finally returned home from that trip, and Susan and I began to talk about it the night that I got home, she, you know, was asking about her, and I had taken pictures and video of this little girl who we knew as Shaoxia. And it was about 2:30 in the morning. I had jet lag, and Susan was struggling to stay awake because she just wanted to have this conversation and learn more. And as we were talking about even the possibility of adopting her, I had this thought come to my mind: if we do adopt this little girl, I want to name her Hope. But I didn't say anything to Susan. And about 2 or 3 minutes later, Susan said to me, "Eric, if we adopt this little girl, I want to name her Hope."
Wow.
And that was like the beginning. We literally got up out of bed, we went straight to the computer, and started saying, "How do you adopt from China?" And that was the start of it. And it was so interesting because Susan that night, she had read a book, you know, by Stephen Curtis Chapman about when he had gone to China after they had already adopted their first daughter, and he had met another little girl. And when he got home, he made a statement of like, "I know that's my daughter, and I need to go get her." And when she said that to me, that was just exactly how I felt. And I literally just began to weep. And for the rest of the night, I never went back to sleep. I spent the rest of the night on the computer trying to figure out how you do this thing. And on Monday morning, when I started calling adoption agencies and told them the story, you kind of get the sense of like, oh, yeah, we've heard this before. You went on a mission trip, you met a little orphan, and you want to adopt her. And so when I told the story, the first three adoption agencies said they could not work with us. They said it would be unethical because at that time, China had very strong rules on pre-identified adoption, which just simply means if you meet a child, you can't adopt them. Mm-hmm. And we ultimately... after that happened, I was like, God, I finally have come to the point where I'm open to this, and now it's like we can't even do it. There's not even any adoption agencies that will work with us. And I finally called Bethany Christian Services, and they really said a lot of the similar things. They said, this really is unethical. That's why a lot of these others have completely just declined to work with you. And they said, it would take an absolute miracle for you to get this girl. And so we kind of had the conversation, and they said, you know, if you understand all of those things, we will work with you, but we're just telling you, you'll never adopt this little girl because it would take an absolute miracle. They said, it's like finding a needle in the haystack. And we just said, you know, we feel so compelled that this is the little girl that we're supposed to adopt, that we're willing to take that risk. We'll start going down the road. And ultimately, if she's not the one that we're supposed to get, will it be that much further along to be able to adopt another child? And so that was how it played out. And it was interesting because shortly after that, we finally had an adoption agency would work with us. I sent an email back to our contacts in China and got a response that said, you know, "Eric, we hate to tell you this, but there's already another family that's trying to adopt her, but we will talk with them. We know them. We'll talk to them. We'll tell them your story, and we'll just see what happens. Just be praying." And about a month later, we had already started all the paperwork, started doing our home study, and we got an email stating that that family who was trying to adopt her had been praying about it and praying for our family, and ultimately felt like God was saying to them, the Mills family is the family that's supposed to adopt this little girl. And so we were blown away by their unselfishness and their willing to really be obedient and to not only seek God's will in this, but listen and to unselfishly allow us to pursue her. And so we did. It took us 3 years to bring her home, and it was the most emotional roller coaster I've ever been on in my life. But God really did so many miracles along the way, and got to the point where China actually changed their stance a little bit and lightened up on their stance on pre-identified adoption, which allowed Bethany Christian Services to advocate on our behalf in China. And it's what ultimately led to us being able to bring Hope home to our family.
After Hope's adoption, and that is an incredible story, is that the point when you began to really engage the church in orphan care? You were a pastor. How did that all begin?
Yeah, it was through our adoption journey that God really started challenging me in my role as a pastor. Like, what are you going to do with this? I mean, really before that, I took a very hands-off approach to this. I really rested on kind of the nightmare stories that I heard and used those as excuses of not engaging. But now that we were personally going through this journey ourselves, like I said, God, just through scripture and just through my prayer times and just other people, you know, coming to me who were aware that we were going through our adoption journey, God just really began to challenge me and said, you know, what are you doing with this? And so, as a result of that, we held our first Orphan Sunday. I mean, as an outreach pastor, I mean, I presented it to our, you know, leadership team and our senior pastor and said, you know, what would it look like if we just showed an Orphan Sunday video and prayed? And that was kind of the first step for us. Excuse me. And from there, that was really an interesting dynamic because we just had a lot of people that became very interested. And so we did have a early focus on adoption just because that was kind of what we were going through. But then I really started looking closely at our ministry partners that we had around the world, and we had about five that were directly involved with orphan care. And so we kind of added that piece. It became a little bit more of a focus on our trips and how we were engaging and supporting and trying to create kind of a long-term plan of how we really step into these kids' lives. And after we came home from bringing Hope home from China, I attended my first CAFO Summit conference out in California, and it was the year that they showed a documentary called Faultless, and the subtitle was The American Orphan, and it rocked my world because I was completely unaware of the foster care system and the crisis that we have here in the United States with kids who, you know, are taken from their families and are in the system. And as a result of kind of all of those experiences, we tried to start developing teams over adoption, over global orphan care, and over foster care. And that was how our orphan care ministry started at our church.
So Faces with Names is the name of your ministry now. Tell us the story that led you to name the ministry Faces with Names.
Well, after we had gone through that whole process of establishing our own orphan care ministry at the church I was at, I was on a mission trip. We had two teams. One team was in Burma and one team was in Nepal. I had traveled to those countries before on a number of occasions. And on this specific occasion, I was traveling there. And because of our engagement in orphan care, we were in Burma going to a prison of young boys ages 6 through 16. And I just was like, oh my goodness, I can't even believe what causes, you know, somebody to have a prison for boys this age. But many of them were on the streets, and when we were going to that orphanage, we were going down this outside of Yangon, and going down this long gravel road out in the middle of nowhere. And God just laid this image in my mind. And I said to myself, just in my mind and under my breath, so this is what the road to the unwanted looks like. Mm. And when we arrived at that orphanage, about 400 young boys, and learned that approximately 130 to 150 of them were orphans. And so that, you know, that just kind of rocked my world, that experience in and of itself. A couple of days later, I went to Nepal, and I was on the streets late at night. We had were engaging with the orphanage there and our team. We were heading back into town, and the guy who was our point person there was going to take me out on the streets late at night. It was about 11:30. I got on the back of his motorcycle, and he was going to show me the kids in the streets of Kathmandu, Nepal. And I got on the back of this motorcycle. We didn't even drive a quarter of a mile, and here was a group of young boys huddled around a little fire that they had made out of boxes that just the street vendors had discarded. And it was freezing. I mean, I had put extra clothes on that night. And here are these little boys in flip-flops, shorts, huddled around a little fire. And as we stopped to talk to him, one of the little boys that kind of was answering the questions, his name was Robin, told us he was 12 years old. And I was just in shock. My son was about that age at that time, or a little bit younger. And I just was like, I can't even believe that these little guys are out on the street this late at night by themselves. And after telling us that, he told us that he had been on the streets since the age of 2. Mm. And I just was like, it rocked my world. And when I got on the back of that motorcycle after praying for these little boys, I wrote about it one time and just said the cold air that was blowing on my face was the only thing that was keeping me from just weeping uncontrollably. Mm. And that experience, really, Robin became a face with a name and an experience of living on the street since he was 2 years old that I just said, this is not all right with me. This cannot happen. And that was really the catalyst for where Faces with Names came into existence. And the verse that you started off with, Psalm 147:4, was a verse that God really used in this experience too, of just saying, you know, I cared enough to place the stars in the sky, and I even named every one of them. And I thought, if God cares that much about stars, how much more does he care about every child? And he gives a name to every face. And that really became our passion, was to make the orphan real and to give a name to every orphan face. And that was really how Faces with Names came to existence.
Mm. I just want to remind our listeners, this is Orphans No More, a radio extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry. To learn more about adoption, foster care, and orphan ministry, visit our website, justicefororphansny.org. Our guest today can also tell you more about adoption, foster care, and orphan ministry. He's an adoptive dad and president of Faces with Names, a nonprofit that works to put a name on every orphan face to engage the church to care for the least of these. Eric, you understand pastors. You are a pastor. What do you say to pastors to engage them in the orphan crisis?
Yeah, you know, I really start off with that platform from the reality that I was a pastor. I get the pressures, the demands of being a pastor. And so I really thought that this would be very helpful for me, like having that experience. But as I have stepped into more of the nonprofit world and the parachurch ministry world, I have realized how difficult it really is to engage pastors, particularly in the area of orphan care. And one of the things that, you know, we hear probably more than anything else is that we're already doing too much as a church. And I obviously in trying to be as polite and as helpful as I can to pastors, I just simply ask, you know, yeah, you're busy doing all these things, but are you busy doing the right things? Mm. And, you know, I think when you look at, if you made a comprehensive list of all the ministries that churches do across our country, all of them good. I get it. I understand how they're needed and are important and how they grow and build the church and disciple people. But very few of them have a biblical mandate that, you know, caring for orphans does. And And that's one of the ways that I really just try to challenge pastors to say, you know, how can you step into this area of ministry, not adding necessarily a complete new ministry, but there's already things that you're doing that you can add on to and say, this would be an easy way for the ministries that we already have to ultimately care for vulnerable kids and orphans. And one of the things that I have shared, you know, with pastors, just kind of speaking metaphorically, is, you know, because most pastors have experienced this. You know, you have a new person in your church, maybe didn't grow up in the church, has not been a Christian until they're adult, and they've accepted Christ, they're growing in their faith, and they come to you as a pastor and say, hey, I don't get this whole idea of tithing. Like, why should I give my money to the church or to God? And, you know, as a pastor, I mean, you go to the scripture and you say, I mean, this is scriptural. This is an act of obedience and growth in your spiritual life. And even though it doesn't necessarily make sense, in God's economy, he blesses those that give. And he restores, you know, the storehouse when you empty it and fills your life, I think, with blessings and when you're obedient to give. And I kind of equated that idea and that concept of trying to explain to a new believer of why they should tithe and why they should give to orphan care. You know, it doesn't make sense. It's a hard ministry. But I believe that when we're obedient and when we ultimately do the things that are, in this case, really close to the heart of God, that it makes a difference and that God blesses it. I came across a statement that Andy Stanley made that I share a lot with pastors because I think it's so relevant. And I know that a lot of people really respect and look up to Andy Stanley's leadership, which I do and have for many years. But I found this statement in kind of a obscure posting that they had on their webpage. And he was addressing the foster families in their church. They have a huge foster care ministry. And the statement that he made, I'm just going to read it here. It says, "Foster care is the best and most significant ministry we do. And I really, really believe that. It will never be huge, but it will always be significant. It will never make sense financially, but we are going to fund it anyway. It means there aren't going to be as many positive stories as there are heartbreaking stories. But that is just the nature of ministry. I really do think, even though initially it seemed like a little bit of a sideways energy, a little bit off focus of what we do in terms of planning churches, I really believe there is not a more significant ministry that we do, which means, from my perspective as your pastor, as a church planner, of all the things I've seen, there isn't a more important thing that we do as a church." And that was a statement from Andy Stanley. And I try to share that with pastors because that is not the typical response of most pastors. Most pastors are not open to orphan care, unfortunately. And I just believe that statement really encompasses churches, you know, getting this and saying, we are going to step into the lives of vulnerable kids and orphans because we know that if we don't do it now, we are going to ultimately be dealing with kids, you know, who come through the foster care system in the end. One of the other things that I really try to share with pastors is just making them aware of the statistics of kids that go through foster care. This is what blew me away. And I was like, how did I not know this as a pastor? But just a few of these statistics. It's, you know, 80% of children in foster care have physical or mental health issues. And much of that just stems from just the trauma and the abandonment that they feel. This is one that blew me away. 70% of the current U.S. prison population in the United States has been through foster care. And 80% of death row inmates have been in foster care. When you think about homelessness in the United States, 65% of the current U.S. homeless population has been through foster care. And you just think, you look at those statistics, and you think, we're either going to step into the lives of these kids now when they are at least have some chance of being helped and being loved, or we're going to deal with them later. They're going to be the people that are stealing from us and stealing our cars and breaking into our homes and selling drugs in our communities. And I just think, as churches and pastors, is this not an easy choice? Why would we not choose to step into the lives of these kids early and give them the possibility of a hope in the future?
And Eric, you're absolutely right. And I know before we run out of time here, I want to make sure we talk about Orphan Sunday real quick, because Orphan Sunday is an easy way for churches to get started in this. So real quick, can you just tell us, you're an Orphan Sunday coordinator there in Oklahoma. What has been your experience with Orphan Sunday?
Like I said, Orphan Sunday is the easiest on-ramp for any church to become involved in caring for orphans and making this people aware in their churches. And, you know, the thing of it is that it is simple. I mean, you can do as much as just showing a video and praying, and it opens the conversations. I remember when we did our first Orphan Sunday, I had people that I'd known for years that came to me and said, I'm adopted, or my parents were foster parents. And it opens discussion and gives a platform for people to start having this discussion of how we can engage as a church. And so we just simply encourage churches to take this time. And I know that churches are bombarded with all kinds of extra curricular, you know, sermon series or that type of thing. But again, none of them has the biblical mandate that Caring for Orphans does. And so we just really encourage churches to go to orphansunday.org or CAFO, or they can contact us at Faces with Names. That's one of the things that we really do, is to just walk alongside churches to give them the resources to be able to do this well.
Eric, thank you for sharing your story and for advocating for orphans and doing Orphan Sunday and for everything that you're doing through Faces with Names there in Oklahoma. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you very much for having me.
To learn more about Faces with Names, you can visit their website, faceswithnames.org. And to learn more about Orphan Sunday and to get free resources so that your church can begin advocating for the orphan as well, go to orphansunday.org. Thank you for listening today. If you enjoyed the show, you can listen to more episodes of Orphans No More right from our website at justicefororphansny.org. You can also help us continue this radio ministry by making a tax-deductible gift to JFO. Our mission is to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless. JFO is an all-volunteer-run organization, and we seek to inspire, educate, and equip the body of Christ toward adoption, foster care, and orphan care ministry. Thank you, and see you next week.
Thank you for supporting this program by listening today, sharing what you've heard, and praying for orphans and children in need everywhere. More information is available at justicefororphansny.org. Visit and discover how you can make a difference in a child's life. And be sure to tune in to Orphans No More next Friday.